on this journey, get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my take place.
word says that if you won't praise him, the rocks will. I'm not going to let a rock praise for me.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good.
Couldn't hurt.
We pour out our praise, it's your grace. Too hard for you. God, we thank you that you see us, Lord, even the least of these, even those of us that maybe feel unseen or unheard. we're unworthy. Jesus, you declare us worthy by your blood, by your love, by your compassion, by your mercy. You declare us to be yours. You declare us to be worthy of love, the one who created us. Jesus, we thank you that you said in Luke 15, you said, what person of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Come on and give God a hand of praise. Lord, we thank you that you chase us down. We thank you that you come after us, that you love us, that you rejoice over us when we come before you and we just acknowledge your greatness, when we acknowledge your love for us, and we say yes to you today, Jesus. We say yes to you today, Jesus. Come on, let's sing that chorus out one more time. And as you sing it, rejoice in the Lord for his greatness, for his goodness and his mercy that comes after us. Come on, let's sing it again. Us up and you encourage us and you call us forward. Great are you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. We say great, great, great are you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the name Jesus. Worthy is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. Worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Wait on me, says the Lord, and you will renew your strength. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your paths. You have watched and you have waited, but I am the Lord. My timing is perfect. Lean not on your own understanding. I will direct your paths. Lean on me, says the Lord, for I am God. Take one deep breath and just breathe him in. Hallelujah. Jesus. He's so good. This is a sacred moment in his presence. There's healing in these moments. There's restoration in these moments. These moments where we stop and we wait on the Lord. Where we're not in a rush. We're not in a hurry. We're not distracted by the noise. We're not distracted by what's coming next. We focus our eyes on him, and we let him lead us. We let the Spirit lead us. So God, we just thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give God one more big hand of praise. You can be seated. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you. We want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. If this is your first time with us, please join us in the foyer after the service at the Welcome Center. We want to give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in online, thank you for joining us. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do so on our website. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. If you're giving by check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And by the way, if you haven't picked up a baby bottle, please do that today after the service. Just grab one and bring it back at the end of the month so that we can support life by giving to the Family Resource Center of Ahoskie. God bless you as you give.
Praise the Lord, somebody. Come on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So good to see you. You look good today. Praise the Lord. You're supposed to say, thank you, Pastor. You look nice too. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Come on. Come on. It's good to be in the house. David said, I was glad. Come on. I was glad. Some of y'all need to make your mouth glad. Amen. Make your mouth glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm encouraged today watching. Incidentally, we could use some people to help us online too. I'm watching and people's comments and things. As the service is going on, you say, well, he sure does pull his phone out a lot. There's a congregation that exists outside this building, okay? And so I like to check on them, okay? So if I pull my phone out while I'm on the front row, please don't be distracted. I'm just waving at someone. Or, matter of fact, I just sent a message to someone that I haven't seen in many, many years that expressed online today that there were struggles. And I said, hey, here's my number. Give me a call. Let's talk. Let's pray. You know, God is doing things, not just in the building. Come on. Outside of the building. It's the church of the 21st century. There's more watching than there are here. Amen? There's more watching. And then in the hours to come, there'll be several hundred people that will tune in. And then, somebody say then, just a few days after this broadcast finishes, on Friday, 182 nations of the earth will receive it. And the nation of India, the seventh largest landmass in the world, receives ministry from Carpenter Shop Church. Come on. The reason that's done is because people just like you have said, hey, I'd like to sponsor a week. It's $125. You say, well, what are you doing with $125? We're paying a company on the other side to take our service and change it into the Hindi language so that the people of India can hear it in their own tongue. How many of you would sit at your home and watch a service in a language that you don't have no idea what they're saying? How many of you would do that? Nobody would. But if it was translated to your language, you could possibly enjoy it. I've noted that there are several people that have said, hey, Pastor, I'd like to do a week. And so we're paying, you know, we're paid every week so far. So if you'd like to do that, just simply give $125, mark it on the memo of your check or whatever, how you pay. Just write, hey, India, $125, and you'll cover a service. It might be the very service that changes the destiny of someone in a foreign land. I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Thank you for leading us into the presence of God. I just feel such a peace today, a calming spirit, and I'm excited about that. As I came into the worship setting today, and I stepped out for a moment just to attend to something before my time here, and I heard the scripture that Pastor Anoli was sharing, and it was about that issue of coming home, that repentance, that something to the effect that there's not a greater rejoicing in heaven than when someone repents. Did I catch that right? Amen. That was what the Lord was saying. I rejoiced when I was out there in the foyer and I heard the service on the monitor. I thought, God, you're so good, because Pastor Anoli has no idea where we're going. And if you're here today and you say, well, you know, he's preaching at me. No, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to you because we're in a service, and today's service fell just where it fell because of the Holy Spirit. Today, the subject matter is really on the caution of backsliding. I mean, let that settle in for a second. The caution of backsliding. You say, well, you know, Pastor, I appreciate that word, but you know what? I'm not a candidate for that. How many of you all would say that? No, don't say that. Let he who is so confident that thinks he's, with, you know, incapable of falling, let him be on his guard. Because you know what? Anybody can fail. Did you hear me? Anybody can fail. Anybody can slip away. How many of you have ever experienced? I just feel the peace of God today, and I thank God for that. I know I've said this before, but I think you're going to hear a calm version of Pastor Wallace today. Somebody smile at me and say, yeah, right. I just do, because I feel the calm of the Holy Spirit today. And God's going to minister his word through me to you and to the hearers online. And there's a word in the house for you today. Amen? There's a word in the house for you today. And if you're saved and you're, you know, the old timers, especially the old timers in the Church of God and the Pentecostal Holiness, say, man, I'm so glad. Y'all ever been to one of those meetings? I know you have, Audrey, where they stood up and said, well, I just thank God I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on my way to heaven. Come on, somebody. That's a dated statement, isn't it, Pastor Ted? I just thank God I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on my way to heaven. Amen. Well, that's a doctrinal statement. That's a theological twist. that probably in the eyes of many, Heidi's smiling. Heidi, did you grow up under that? Did you? How many of y'all grew up under that? Come on. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And you have to add, and on my way to heaven. Come on. Amen. I mean, you have to, so there'd be no doubt, you know. But, you know, here's the thing. How many of you have found yourself surprised by the slipping of your spiritual condition from time to time in your walk with God? Maybe you slipped away from God. Come on. You know, has it ever just snuck up on you and all of a sudden you realize, you know what, I'm not engaged in the church. I'm not engaged in the Word of God. I don't listen to the right stuff, you know. I'm just listening to, you know, sinful songs. Now, how many of y'all like secular music? I do. I like all kinds of music, you know. But you have to be very careful what you choose to listen to, what you choose to watch on television, what you choose to entertain, because if you're not careful, those things can influence your life and your thinking. Pastor Joy was riding down the road with me one day this week. We were on a task doing something, and she was talking about that verse of scripture about a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Remember that conversation we had? And this is so true. You know, a little yeast will make the dough rise, man. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And you got to be careful. You got to be very careful that you don't allow the leaven, the sin of this world, to creep into your life and influence you and affect you. Because you know what? You made a commitment to the Lord. You said when you got saved, you said, I will accept the reality that Christ has died for me and that old things pass away. And behold, all things are now becoming, help me here, becoming new. And listen, let me just let you in on a little secret, okay? You're not completely new yet, okay? I remember throwing this out in a service, Pastor Bernie, and there was a preacher from another country, man, and it upset his apple cart. I just said simply, you know, listen, I'm just telling you, you're not completely saved yet. You are becoming saved. Time to drop the mic, man. People say, huh? Wait a minute, Pastor. I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm confident he's going to save me. Yeah, but you ain't there yet. Okay? So, listen, the Bible says that you're to do what? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear is not being scared, okay? There's a great kind of fear. Y'all going to be a fun group to speak to today. I can see that. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost in this. Okay? Fear, this is a fear that is called a what? Job said it in his message. Job said, hearken unto me, O my children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. How many of y'all read that one before? Job. Hearken unto me, O my children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, anytime you hear me quote, it's coming out King James. Can't help it, okay? Hearken unto me, O my children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What is fear there? Is it being scared? No. Fear, it's, thank you, reverence and trust. It's a reverential trust. Get your Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible and look it up in the Hebrew language. It is a reverential trust. I fear the Lord. I've had people say this to me as they pass me their, hey, I'm not going to be there Sunday, but can you drop this in for me? Because, you know, I just fear God. Amen? Some people just don't trust that maybe they'll put it in the next time they're here. They want to make sure they get that money in the bucket. Come on. I like folks like that. I do. Not because of the money, but because of the testimony. I like people who want to make sure that I've crossed the T's and dotted the I's here. I want to get it right. So how many of you, my question was, I'm off the script, guys. I know it. It's okay. You say, what do you mean? I preach by script. Okay? It's a good practice. And then when the Holy Spirit gives me these nuggets, I'm going to hang around there and release them one by one, and then I'll know when it's time to get back to the script. Okay? But how many of you, listen, my question for you was this. How many of you have seen yourself drift and slide off of the path and go a different direction maybe for a season? And then are you thankful for that time when maybe it was a message, maybe it was a service, maybe it was a song, maybe it was a trial. Maybe it was a death. Maybe it was a loss. Maybe it was an accident that pulled you back to your right thinking, your righteousness, your right living. That's what righteousness is. And you were thankful that, you know, though the enemy intended something for harm, God used it, help me here, for your good, okay? God used it to bring you back into alignment with his plans and his purpose, because his plan for us is that we serve him all the days of our life. Amen? And so today we're clearly talking about that people that their note of influence was the fact that they would try to deter you and cause you to shift. Amen? You say, I thought you were in a series called Roadblocks. I am. Okay? Roadblocks. We are talking about this tremendous, unprecedented attack by the devil that he tries to release opposing spirits in our life. That's what we're talking about. He tries to get you to go one way when you know, because you know, because you know, you shouldn't be going this way. You shouldn't be going this way. You go against the grain of everything God created in you and everything he's spoken unto you, and so you're going against the grain. You say, well, they just gonna need to accept me like I am. No. No, we accept you like God created you. Okay? We accept you like God created you to be a what? A houser of his presence. Okay? Now, before you jump overboard and think, well, you know, he's talking about hair color or sensuality or sexuality. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about your standing with God, okay? Because I've discovered a long time ago, our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. The very best I have to offer him is not enough. And if you want to study that now, if you want to break it on down, homeboy here can get down into the words and break it down. You know, if you want to know, our righteousness is as filthy rags. You want to know where that comes from? The Bible teaches that it came from the land of Gaza, who was a creator of what we know as medicinal gauze, where you wrap a rag around something to stop a bleeding, okay? Listen, our kids are upstairs, all right? The kids are upstairs to deal with a bleeding. And he says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. This was written in the context of a woman's menstrual cycle. She is releasing blood and impurities from her body. Listen, you guys can't relate to this. All you know is, well, she's that way because she's on it, you know? No, no, no. You're on it. You're on it. If you married her, you're on it too, okay? One preacher friend of mine told me, he said, man, he said, why did God give me all girls? He said, because somebody in my family is on a cycle all the time. He said, my life is one constant period. Listen, this is Bible. This is Bible. He says, your righteousness, help me here, is as a filthy rag before God. So the very best that you have to offer is not good enough. It's all impurities that need to, here we go, be released from your body, be released from your spiritual body. Stay with me, guys. Don't get lost here. It needs to be released from your spiritual body. And yes, there are seasons where we go through times, we go through periods where we just, if we're not careful, we'll go in and out and in. I have a good month and a bad month, or even a good day and a bad day, or a good year and a bad year. Maybe I was engaged fully in the plan of God that he had for me. Maybe I got involved in the church and I served. And I heard one pastor on the way to church this morning talking about, hey guys, let me tell you before we bring the word to you today, let me tell you, we need some nursery workers. That was a need. And so he was using that time to collectively speak to the people, we need you to help, okay? And so we have to understand today that there are seasons where the enemy will send some opposing spirits in our life, okay? And I want you to grasp this as we go through this series that we've simply entitled Roadblocks. Look at Deuteronomy 7. The verses are 1 to 6. When the Lord your God, now please notice this. I want you to notice how God has predetermined the results of what's supposed to happen here. When you see it, raise your hand. When the Lord God brings you into the land, okay? There's one time. He's going to bring you into the land that you are entering to possess, okay? Why are you going there? Because you're going to do what? You're going to possess it. And drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them to you, there we go again, okay? He's already done this. And you have what? Defeated them. They're already defeated. You ain't got into battle yet, but they're already defeated. Don't you see this? He's telling his children, listen, I've set you up for, I see a victory. First song we sang this morning, okay? I see a victory, okay? He says, you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Listen, if you've got an issue with alcohol in your life, you don't need a bottle in the cabinet just for winter and bad colds. You don't. Okay? If that's you, just say, thank you, Jesus. But if you've got an issue with alcohol and you have a propensity and a weakness to that thereof, you don't need, you say, well, NyQuil's got it in it. That's NyQuil. Okay? But you don't have an alcohol problem and just keep a stash for the wintertime colds, because you'll have a tendency feeling like, my throat's scratchy. Okay? And your throat may not be scratchy at all. But if you got a propensity toward that, a weakness toward that, so this is what he says to them. Listen, what you need to do is you need to smash that stuff. You came out of darkness into the light of the gospel. And he said, what I want you to do is I want you to destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Don't give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn, I know some of y'all say, man, this is heavy. It is. But it's the word of God. Pastor Joy was studying a book of the Bible here several weeks ago. She studied it for weeks for a class. And she would call my attention to several things. She said, are you hearing this? I said, yes. She said, how come the church don't do this today? I said, I don't know. It's sad, but that's the Bible. And that's the letter to the church. And we just, in many cases, don't follow it. He says, for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. I hope you're getting this. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you're to do with them. Verse 5, break down their altars. Don't just pour the liquor down the drain. Crash the bottle on the side of a tree somewhere in the woods and say, no more. Not using this. Now, you have to discover what that vice is in your life that knocks on your door. And you cannot put yourself in a situation where you're going to do this same thing again. You know, some of you have issues in relationships. You know, and you turn right back around and get out of one relationship, and then you stay, you know, away from it for a long time, and then you're going to lure yourself right back into another one just like that rascal. He's the same way. Man, the church is quiet today. My first husband beat me. My second husband beat me. Don't get a third one yet, okay? Go through healing first. Go through counseling first. Go through restoration first. Go through a time where you can get a hold of you so you will not be attracted to the same thing again. You can't get much amen here. He says, verse 6, for you're a holy people. God's saying, listen, I got better for you than this. You're a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. And so you got to, listen, you got to make sure when you're living your life, you got to make sure you clean the slates. Got to make sure that you, You know, you hear me say it all the time, cross the T's and dot the I's. Make sure you do a complete introspection of yourself before you take the job. Count the cost. Before you get into relationship, count the cost. Amen? Before you make the decision, count the cost. All of us today are sitting at some point along this line, this continuum, where we've got decisions to make, yes or no, do I or don't I? And so we have to just constantly say, okay, God, I need your guidance, okay? Because if I'm Matthew 6:33, if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything's going to be all right. But if I just follow what I want, I could be in trouble. I could be in trouble. Last week we dealt with the first thing that tripped up the children of Israel. Now here's the context. They were told by God through the lips of Moses, I have given you this land. But by the way, it's inhabited. Okay? You can have everything down there in the promised land flowing with milk and honey, but you got to drive out the inhabitants. Okay? Look, it's not all free. You got to pay a price for it. And you got to drive it out. And we found out that last week, the promise and the directive that the Lord gave his people was that it was all theirs, but there was a people that had to be dealt with, and they were known as the who? The Hittites. And what was their name indicative of? Fear and terror. And so listen, here's the people of God advancing toward what God said was theirs. He said, I've already given it to you. You defeated it. It's in your hands. I've delivered them over to you. But then they come up with against these people, and they're just pronouncing fear, pronouncing all kinds of dread and terror on the people. And there must have been, you know, there must have been a whole lot going on here. It could have been, you know, it could have been their size. It could have been their position. Could have been their number. It could have been, you know, what they were known for. But it produced fear in the people. And then he says there are a second group of people, and this group of people is called the who? The Girgashites. The Girgashites. Girgashite simply means the one who turns back. It means the one who turns back, the Girgashites. It's a spirit of backsliding. It's a spirit of backsliding. I remember many, many years ago, there was a young man that went to our church, and he was noted for every time the altar call was given, salvation was offered, and he would come up and he would tell the altar workers, you know, I want to give my life to Jesus, okay? And he did this over and over. How many of you have heard of the cat named Morris who had 9 lives? This is the way he was. I mean, he never could get a confidence that he was saved. You follow what I'm saying, Lewis? He never could. He was like, I'd pray for him. Other would pray for him. And he would just come up and he would say, what do you need? And we'd call his name. He'd say, I just want to give my heart to Jesus. You did that. You did that. What's the issue? After a while, I'm getting a little frustrated saying, man, what's the issue here? Do you ever walk away from this altar with peace? Do you ever come to the conclusion that his word on the cross, it is finished, has been finished in you? And he never could get that reality. He said, no, I just don't feel that. I just, you know, then when I said, well, what makes you feel, now this is going to cause some of you to laugh, but listen, this is where he was. I said, what makes you feel today that you need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sins, wash you clean, and become a Christian? He said, well, last week I smoked. Wow. Last week I smoked. Can I tell you that is the most unhealthy view of redemption that I've ever heard in my life. If your salvation is based upon your performance, then every one of us sitting in this room today are in trouble, okay? Because I don't know about you, but my performance sometimes is not well, okay? How many of y'all would agree with me? Sometimes your performance is just not up to snuff. Well, let me not use the word snuff. Sorry. Okay. That's for some of you old timers too, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No. It's not up to par, okay? Your performance, remember, my righteousness is as filthy rags. And Paul, the great writer of the New Testament, says, here I am, you've read it in his epistles, here I am, the things that I want to do, I don't find myself doing them, and the things that I don't want to do come so natural to me. Who shall deliver me, he says, from this body of death? Okay? Because all of us have this issue toward the flesh. And so we have to crucify the flesh, bring it in line. We have to take authority. We're going to close out with that again today. We have to bring that into line. Because listen, if you go through life and every time you miss the mark, you feel like you got to come to the altar and get saved all over again, you're never going to feel that sense of righteousness and peace with God. You never will. Okay? You're your own worst enemy. This Girgashite people were people who would try to bring a series of pauses into the life of the children of Israel. I mean, you know, we got them, you know, we know they're afraid because they didn't come through the land of the Hittites. We know they're afraid. So let's see if we can distract them. Let's see if we can get them just to kind of pause and reflect, look back on how hard it was to get through the first phase of this battle. Let us get them to pause. How many of you know that in serving the Lord, you have to watch the pauses? Can I just submit something to you? 2020 is a pause. Okay? 2020 is a series of our life amounting to 12 months now that has caused many people just to kind of step away. Okay? It's caused many people just to kind of pull in the, you know, the rest area, and they've not engaged fully in anything. In fact, if you're not careful, when these series comes, these seasons of our life come, then if we're not careful, we'll disconnect. Okay? We'll disconnect. And you have to be careful. Listen, I don't care if the devil turns the fan on and tries to blow you back from pressing in. You've got to understand, whatever you do, you don't turn back. I think about that little woman who had the issue of blood. And you know what she had to do? She saw in faith, this is what she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And she was like, I think Pastor Rick preached this a few weeks ago at one of our ministers' meetings. She was looking for a crack, you know, just a little crack, that if I can just get through there, then I know that I can touch the hem of his garment. Have you ever seen the football team on the goal line? And it's like, you know, it's third and one, or third and 16 inches or something like that. It ain't even a yard. And what happens is, 228, hut, hut, and then all of a sudden you see a bunch of people go what? Just shoo, they just lunge. And you know what that guy with the ball in the very back of that crowd's looking for? There you go, just a crack. Just a crack. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, you know where she was going to go? She was going down, because where was the hem of his garment? Okay, it's not up there. If I can just touch the hem of his... No. She said, I'm just going to leap over this thing, and I'm going to land right down at his feet, and I can touch the hem of his garment. Okay? I don't care if the devil is just pushing you. You make sure you find the crack that you can just press through. It might be one more song. You know, Pastor Joy and I were lying there last night. We were lying in the bed, and this... You know, we've already gone over to the clock and changed it forward just in case. Now, we got smartphones. They do it for you. But just in case, I wouldn't want to be the laughing stock of this church. I went over to the old clock. You know what I'm talking about? Got digits on it sitting on the dresser. We don't even use the thing anymore, hardly. Pastor Joy said, what time is it? I pick up my phone because I can't see without my glasses. That clock ain't doing me no good. And so you have to just make sure, you know, You have to make sure. You got to find that. I want to make sure I'm here today, okay? So I just made sure I set that clock. And you got to make sure that you're on point. You got to press your way through no matter what. You got to push your way through. If you can just find a crack, I don't care. Listen, you can't afford the pauses in your life. And if the enemy blows that thing wide open and says, get back, you got to keep moving ahead. Can I just tell you this? The only way with God is forward. God doesn't want you going backwards. God doesn't want you going backwards. He doesn't. He only has a forward plan for you. There's been times in our lives, all of us, that the enemy has tried to get you to divert your course. He's tried to get you to turn away from what you know to be right, what you know to be God's way and God's path. I don't care what trick he pulls on you. Press forward. I remember what my grandma used to say about my granddad. He was an old guy. You know, when I was just a little kid, I saw him as an old guy, you know, in his 70s, and I'm close to that now. And I just remember what she said about my granddad. And my granddad, he had a rough journey. He had a terrible walk. He got struck by lightning one time. He worked for a fuel company, and he was standing on a barrel, and the lightning struck the barrel of gas, and everything just went south. And he was affected by that the rest of his life. And he had trouble walking, and he had trouble with his nerves, and he had trouble with all kinds of things. But my grandma would say this. She said, he's going to church. She said, because your granddaddy always says this, there's a time going to come when I won't be able to go. And so what was granddad doing? He was this tenacious guy who said, while I'm able, I'm going. He saw the crack. He had to press through. He had to push, even with the challenges of his mobility and the challenges sometimes of his nerves. He pressed through because he said, I've just got to do this. I got to do this. Listen, there's been times in my life, Pastor Joy can tell you, there's been times in my life where I've said, you know what? I'm not pastoring anymore. I've said that before. I'm not pastoring anymore. I'm not going to be a leader. I remember one day, she could tell you, we were living in the parsonage. I remember one day she came into the driveway and I met her in the yard. And I walked up to her and I said, hey, I got some news for you. And she said, what? I said, I got my job back. She looked at me and she said, what? I said, in Florida. I got my job back at the bakery. I was into sanitation. I had a degree from NC State in pest management, and I controlled all the rodents and the bugs and all that stuff for the bakery. I said, I got my job back. She looked at me and she said, don't pull my chain. Don't you jerk my chain. Because we were struggling with where we were and where we are and at this season of our life. And I had, what was this? Hear me, church. Hear my heart. This was a pause for me. This was a season for me where I was evaluating. You've been there. Some of you are there right now. I was evaluating who I was and what position I found myself in. And I was doing some introspective analysis here on my own life. And it was, for me, a pause. Let me just tell you, you got to be careful when you go through these pauses. And for some of us, it's been the whole year of 2020. You got to be careful with these pauses. And I said, I'm not going to be a pastor anymore. I'm not going to be a leader anymore. I said this, I'm going to find me a good paying job, and I'm going to be the model church member. I'm going to support my pastor. I'm going to arrive at church early. I'm going to give my tithes, and I'm going to volunteer in any capacity they want me to serve in. Because, see, I've been on the other end so long. I know the great need for all of those things. And I was just frustrated as a leader, feeling like I just need to get out of this. God, I didn't sign up for this, and I just want out. That's a dangerous place to be. Because you know what? For me, may not for you, but for me, if I would have taken this huge step back, not only would it have affected my life and my daily living, I believe it would have negatively affected my life and my salvation. Because I was moving in a position that is completely opposite of what God intended for my life. Are y'all hearing me? You hearing me? Those kinds of thoughts are the influence of the Girgashites. Stay with me, beloved. Don't miss this. The Girgashites want you to feel this way. Well, you know, we're better off. We don't need to really get involved. You know, we've served long enough. Oh, I always hate to hear that from people in the church. Well, you know, I did my time. Oh, come on. Is that the way you feel about God's kingdom? I did my time. Well, what age does that happen? Because I must be getting close, okay? I did my time. It's time for others to step up. No. How about the older women model for the younger women and the older men model for the younger men? Okay? Okay, so we have to be careful. You have to be careful of those things. And when I hear that kind of message in my spirit, like, you know, I think I'm going to quit, I have to always throw the flags up. You got to watch that pause. You got to watch that pause. Listen, do you know that the makers of automobiles in Detroit, have you noticed this in your car? Now, let's all jump in the car. Come on, get your keys out. Get your keys out. Let's all jump in the car. We're sitting in the driver's seat. And just imagine with me for a moment, you're sitting in the driver's seat. Come on, put your hands on the wheel. Come on. All right, what do you see ahead of you? A huge, huge glass. What do we call that? The windshield. And out of that windshield, what is out there, man? Fields, clouds, airplane flying in the distance. It is huge. It gives you the vision for everything in front of you. Now, tilt your head slightly upward, and what do you see? A rearview mirror that, come on, reduces from super wide to shh. It's just about this big, okay? And that is for you just to, here we go, take a glimpse. Because here's the truth. It is more important for you as a child of God to pay attention to what is ahead of you than to constantly have your eyes, oh, some of y'all are just getting this now, than to constantly have your eyes on what was behind you. Well, you just don't know what it was like to live with her. You just don't know. I worked there 15 years. You don't know what she put me through. No, 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 no. You're not called to dwell on the past. If the Girgashites could get you to just reflect on the backside, then you will forget all about everything in front of you. Okay? I've heard people to just pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. And I listen, this is the truth. I'm just telling you. I'm just being honest with you. As a pastor, I've had people to come pour out the most terrible story. Here it is, 2021 now. They come in to pour out the most terrible story. And maybe a year or so or 2 years ago, maybe 2019 or 2020. And I'm sitting there listening, and they're just pouring it out and crying and tears. And can I have some more tissues? And they grab tissues. Well, when did this happen? It happened when I was in the ninth grade. You're 50 what now? Okay. And listen, I'm not saying that that doesn't concern me, because maybe the enemy has held you captive by something in the past. But can I just be honest with you? Look ahead, okay? Get everything with God is where? Forward. You're not going backward. You can't go backward. Listen, God wants you to be healed of the backward. Come on. He wants you to be set free and restored from the backward. But you've got to move forward. You can't let the Girgashites in this time of reflection, you can't let them, you know. How many of you, listen, you're married. Some of you are married. How many of you, your husband and wife, you argue over something that happened, you know, when you were married in the third year, and now you've been married 43 years? No. That's not God's will. That's not God's will. You got to deal with this. Listen, if it's repentance, forgiveness, if it's a couple of sessions or two or three books or what, you got to deal with it. But you can't just make it the windshield. Be careful. Don't punch your wife or don't punch your husband right now. If I'm preaching in your corner, just say, thank you, Jesus, okay? Thank you, Jesus. You got to be careful, man. You know, there's folks that, hey, man, love to have you in church. I don't know, man. I got the worst hurt I ever received was in the church. You ever talk to that person? Come on, the worst hurt I ever received. I don't see myself getting back to, now they're using this out there. I don't see myself getting into organized religion anymore. But what are you going to do? I'm just going to worship at home, you know? What do you mean? Well, I watch Charles Stanley. Okay. But that's not what God wants for you. I'm thankful In Touch is there, okay? So that if I want to access that, I have it at any time, anywhere. But that wasn't God's plan for you. He said, I don't want you to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so it's important for us. That's why I just love it today. Man, look at you guys. Beautiful people. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you that are online. I'm so glad that you're watching us. Maybe you couldn't be here today. Maybe right now it's just not, you just don't feel the confidence that, hey, I can return. That's okay. God bless you. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're receiving what God has for you today. And hear me. The Lord is saying to his church today, be careful for those seasons of your life where you get sidetracked and you kind of get into a pause, so to speak. Because Jesus said this, look at Luke 9:62. He says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom. Listen, look at this for a moment. It's not about the plow. The plow's just an object. It's not about the person. The person's not named. He said anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then takes his hand off of it and turns back really is not fit for the kingdom. Jesus spoke about this several times in the Bible. Look at Luke 17:31. Jesus is talking about his what? His future, his return. And he says, on that day, no one who is on the housetop with all of their possessions inside, got a 70-inch hanging on the wall, got some nice china, got some great furniture, got good furniture, okay? He says, no one who's on the housetop with all of his possessions inside really needs to go down and get those things, okay? He says, likewise, no one in the field should go back into the field. I got a John Deere tractor set up, man. I got payments on that thing. No. Don't worry about the tractor. Don't worry about anything. Because if you got your eyes on the Lord, keep your eyes on the Lord. And when he comes back for you, pack your bags and go with him, okay? Just go. He says, you remember Lot's wife? Whoa. What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, she turned and looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Don't look back. Gergeshites are speaking to you saying, you know, I don't know if I should really, you know, I don't know. No, don't look back. Keep your eyes on the Lord. The Gergeshites will deter you, they'll detain you, they'll deter you. But God will cause you to advance. God will cause you to move forward. You know, I just feel this morning that the Holy Spirit has already spoken to some of your hearts, and that it has nothing really to do with church attendance. It has more to do with your heart, okay? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I just feel like I just need just a reboot. You know, I have problems sometimes. Sometimes my wife will say to me, she said, my stuff's not updating. My stuff's not updating. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's not updating. It's not remaining fresh. And you know what I'll say to her? Have you turned your phone off lately? Because I'm not good at this. I hardly ever turn mine off. Why? Because I need it on. Okay? So once in a while, you know, if my phone's acting up, y'all know what that means, don't you? If my phone's acting up, then I'll hold these two buttons together like that, and it goes boom. I just turn it off. And let it stay off for a whole 2 minutes, okay? two minutes I can do without the cell phone. And then you boot it back up, and I'll say to her, she'll say to me, yep, it's refreshing already. Sometimes we just need to reboot. Am I talking to anybody this morning, and the Holy Spirit has already spoken to your heart, and you need a spiritual reboot. You need to just refresh. You need to push the button again, default. Let me go back to, I know on your computer and your phone, you can go back to the original settings that it came to. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? I've had people to ask me before, you know, my computer's just doing all kinds. Hey, go back, pick a date, and go back and refresh it. Maybe, you know, was it working okay in January? Okay, back it up to that date and just refresh it from January 1. And then you won't lose your stuff, okay? Can I just ask you today, are there people in this room, musicians, come on and join me here. Let me have my prayer team guys, come on, pastors, elders, come on, just stand across the front here. Is there anyone here this morning that would just say to me, Pastor, I need to hit refresh. I just need to hit refresh. I just, in the Holy Ghost, I just need to hit the refresh button. Amen. You know who you are. Amen. You know who you are. God is, listen, God's speaking to your heart. Your little heart right now, you're sitting there, you're feeling warm. Your little heart's just bumping, bumping. Just need to hit refresh. And can I promise you this? When you, here you go. You're sitting there. When you go, oh, you stand, you know what's going to happen? Man, the Spirit of God is going to make you to feel light because His burden is easy. His burden is light. Come on, stand with us and just be true to yourself. Come on. Just be true to your own feelings today. Step out of your seat and just come forward. Let someone pray with you and just stretch out a hand. Nobody's here to judge you. We're not qualified to be judges. Okay? God knows your heart. You know your heart. But why don't you just come and take the hand of a pastor or an elder. Take the hand of a precious saint of God and just let them, oh wow, just let them wash over you a word. Just let them wash a word over you this morning. Come on. Come on. I know because I know. The Holy Spirit spoke this to my heart. God bless you. I know because Pastor Noli said, there's no greater thing that happens in heaven. It's like a cheer session when someone says, hey man, I'm jacked up and I need some help. Then heaven rejoices, James. Heaven rejoices. You know what? I graduated in pest management. I graduated in pest management from NC State. And my tall, lanky professor of entomology's name was Dr. Charles Wright. He was a big old tall guy. And he was teaching us about pest. And he had a whole container of cockroaches on his desk. And he was teaching us one day, y'all gonna love this. He said, listen, there's nothing to be embarrassed about having cockroaches in your house. He said, cockroaches have value. They have protein. And he opened up his mouth and dropped two cockroaches in his mouth. Man, you got to be kidding me. He said, no, it's not bad to have cockroaches in your house, though, but it's bad to have them in your house. Know that they're in your house and keep them. You got to spray them. You got to get rid of them. He said, well, why are you eating them then? You got to spray them. You got to get rid of them. Listen, there's nothing wrong with feeling like, hey, Pastor, I'm going through a pause here. I'm going through a bad season here. The Girgashites are working on me. They're distracting me. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something gravely wrong for you to sit under the sound of my voice and hear the preaching of God's word today and know that you know that you know that you're not where you need to be. And you just stand here like nothing needs to happen. Come on, get your breakthrough right now. Come on. Come on, get your breakthrough right now. Step out of your seat. Some of you need to come. There's men, women right here that will pray with you. There's men and women right here ready to love on you, speak a word prophetically over you. Come on, sing it this morning. And a wall he won't kick down to get to you. Amen.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. And you have been so, so good.
took a breath, you breathe your life in me.
Come on, let God touch you today. Step out of your seat.
And you have been so, so kind to me.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it.
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Hallelujah.
No wall you won't kick down.
Come on, step out of your seat.
You won't tear down, coming after me.
Our team is here. They stand ready and waiting to just engage in prayer for you. You say, Pastor, why are you pushing for this? I'm pushing for this because I know the value of what it means to be on the other side. I know the value of feeling like I had missed the mark, gotten detoured, gotten sidetracked, and then to have just the presence of God just overshadow me and feel washed and feel clean. So come on, if you felt the Holy Spirit, maybe you say, well, I've already reconciled right here in my seat. No, just take it a step further. Come on, just step out of your seat. Just let someone agree with you in prayer. Let someone prophetically just speak a solid word over you. Maybe there's something you need to hear. Maybe God sent you a personal message and it's being held right here at this altar. Just wait a moment. There you go. let him do it. It's like the shower is on. Nobody's in the stall. It's just running. About her sometimes, don't we? I want you to help me here. You came to the altar, okay? That's none of my business, really. I don't want to know the details or nothing like that, but there must have been for you to come, and then when she finishes praying, you know what she does? She just says, I'm just going to hang around here. And she, instead of going back to a seat somewhere, she's just hanging out. Can you put that into words? Can you just say a couple of words and put that in? This is called a testimony for those of you who haven't been to church in 40 years, okay?
Well, really, I just feel like I have so much to be thankful for. And up here, I can just worship him and thank him for everything that he has done and continues to do. And he's never failed me or anything like that. So the least I could do is just praise him. Thank him. I mean, I feel like kind of new in my faith, and like I don't know what to do, so sometimes I just want to say thank you Jesus, because that's all I know what I'm feeling inside. So yeah. I like to worship God.
Yeah, I could write a book on that. Did you hear that? Sometimes I just want to hang up here and just say thank you Jesus, you know. Thank you, Stacy. That's powerful. That's just powerful. Anybody else got a powerful word? Just a short testimony? You're looking at me out of the corner of your eye like, I hope you don't call on me. Anybody? You want to say anything? Praise the Lord. That's okay. Bless you. She's laughing in tears here. She's crying laughing. God just does it, don't he? Amen? He just does it. He does. Say that again.
He does.
He does. That's enough right there. He does. He does. It is. He does. That's all. Listen, the shortest verse in the Bible says what? Jesus wept. Okay? Sometimes two words is all it takes. All right? Wow. Man, I feel the gentleness of the Holy Spirit in this room right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just soak it up. Soak up the Lord. God says, listen, when I'm coming after you, there ain't a wall I won't kick down to get to you. Okay? Girgashites can be hollering all they want to. Hey, don't do that. Don't get engaged in the church, man. Don't do that. Said, I'll knock down every wall. Mother, that's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Powerful Holy Ghost. Oh, the overwhelm never ending reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights to chasing us down. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for just enabling us to say he really does. He just does. And and sometimes I just want to stand here and thank you. Lord, thank you for doing your work today. Thank you for allowing us just to stand in the shower of your presence right now. I know this might sound crazy, but how many of y'all are shower people? Like shower people. How many of you, after working, you know what it feels like? There's a tangible anointing standing at this altar right now. Could I just get some of you, you just come stand under the spout for a minute. Come on, just feel what I'm feeling right now. Come on, just step out of your seat, just stand. Make sure you're distanced from people. Don't shoulder to shoulder, nothing like that. Just stand in his presence. Come on, lift your hands. Just lift your hands and love him for a moment. Come on, just get in the shower. Just get in the shower this morning. Hallelujah. There you go. Just stand right there, not too close to people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for washing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you for washing offenses away today. Thank you for letting me forgive somebody today. He took advantage of you, but you forgive him. Just let him wash you right now. Come on. Just let him wash you. Come on, Lord, wash away prejudice. Just wash it away. Let us not judge people wrongly. Prejudging folks. Just wash it away. Good enough, but you just receive us. You said it's finished. Thank you for just cleansing us right now, cleansing our minds, cleansing our thoughts, cleansing our attitudes. Father, we rejoice today at your goodness. We thank you, Father, that though there are Girgashites who speak to us and try to get us to concentrate on the past, the things behind us, they distract us, they deter us from getting to the destination that you have for us. It's all forward. So, Lord, today we lay it down. We wash it down the drain. We let it go. And, Lord, we just thank you for the victories that are coming out of this very moment, the cleanliness of spirit that's coming out of this shower that you've just given us right now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, bless you. Let me remind you that Easter is coming up, and we will have an Easter sunrise event. It'll be held at Beechwood Country Club as we did a couple of years ago. We didn't do it last year because we were right in the middle of COVID. But we will have that event. We'll have tickets available if you'd like to participate in breakfast. And it'll be a great morning. We'll have Easter service here naturally as usual. But we will have a sunrise event at Beechwood Country Club on Easter morning. So God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We love you. Be safe out there. And we'll see you next time. God bless you.